Move on to the second meeting. So, good morning and welcome to this another meeting of Sapperwood Council's Special Planning Committee. My name is Scott Spencer. I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. For everyone present, if you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in silent mode? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? If there's any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. So we'll move straight to the agenda. So do we have any apologies?
Councillor Nixon, substituted by Councillor Reid, Councillor Kenny, Councillor James, Councillor Edgela, substituted by Councillor Cooper, and Councillor McNaughton, substituted by Councillor Loughran.
Thank you. Do you have any declarations of members' interests or lobbying? No. Okay. This meeting is specifically to look at the draft planning application validation criteria, and I shall again hand over to Ed Handley for an explanation.
Thank you. The validation criteria is before you today to seek approval to open an 8-week public consultation for changes made to the validation criteria which the committee adopted in 2023. Every local planning authority must publish a local validation criteria and set out the information requirements for planning applications. Our current list was adopted at the end of 2023, and there's a requirement to review and consult on any amendments. In brief, the overview of the amendments are generally made in response to issues that officers have faced over the past 2 years. So there's minor changes to formatting and grammar to make the document easier to interpret. There's an inclusion of a new annex, which is a guide to writing descriptions of development. There are a few sections that are amended or added as well. So a section on applications submitted under section 73 is amended to fall in line with national requirements. A new section to assist with applications submitted under section 96A, which are non-material amendments. There are additional paragraphs relating to the option to use small sites metric for biodiversity net gain. Policy drivers have been updated in line with latest policy and regulations. Acronyms have been used and defined to reduce the size of the document. Any duplication has been removed where possible. And then new items have been included on biodiversity net gain, a custom self-build declaration form to identify when a new dwelling is custom or self-build proposal, a design review for large-scale major development, solar farms and similar applications. And then there are updates to require documents to be up to date. These are things like biodiversity surveys, structural surveys, tree surveys, and two additions are landscape visual impact assessments to be required for most large development. However, a new threshold 1 hectare area is introduced for solar farms or polytunnel applications, and a new document requiring an assessment of visual effects for solar farms and wind turbine applications to assess issues such as glint and glare and shadow flicker. So in all, to assist the validation team in asking for the information that case officers require to consider an application against relevant policy. The recommendation is that the committee resolve to authorise officers to open public consultation on the latest draft validation criteria. Thank you.
Okay, so to clarify, I've been told that we're specifically looking to ratify that this goes to public consultation. Any issues we have fundamentally with this, we can discuss now. However, any comments associated to individual items should be made potentially in writing during the public consultation process.
That's the most appropriate way.
And this would be the most appropriate way to deal with that. So, bear that in mind. I'll open it to the floor. Anybody have any comments? Councillor Cooper.
Yeah, first comment I have is, if I'm a householder and I'm looking to put an extension on the back of my house, would I be forwarded to a document like this to read through? Because I think, forget it. Or would this guidance be funneled down for different types of being more sensible, more types of applications, so large scale you mentioned, the one we looked at this morning versus household extension?
So hopefully, if you were to submit an application without an agent doing it for you, you would read up on it to understand what the requirements are for an application to be submitted. However, people aren't necessarily going to want to read the whole document. There is a householder guide, a quick guide, one of the annexes, that's in the current version, and it's not been changed in this one. So if people come to us asking for advice, what is required, we can point them straight to that quick guide. They don't necessarily need to read the whole document.
Right, okay, thank
you. Cassidy?
I've got two questions regarding consistency. So I've been looking at this in detail here. So it's validation reference 16, which is on either page 26 or 36, depending how you count. The great question, new assessment. The types of application, it says all applications within the risk areas. But when you compare it to the habitat on 17, that only applies to all applications for development. Now, as it reads 16, all applications, that would be change of use, for example, which surely it should be consistent with 17, so that you don't require a new survey or a new statement if you're simply doing a shop into a takeaway or something like that. Why is there an inconsistency there?
There's a difference between the reasoning behind and the information we need for those. So the habitat regulation statement is not habitat to protected species. It's about European sites, habitat sites, so things like carrot chase, sack, and it's the impact on those sites. So there is a broad threshold around those areas that all types of development are potentially going to have an impact. Therefore, we need a statement from the applicant to outline what they believe those impacts are and how they're going to mitigate them.
Yeah.
The Great Crested Newt information is more in areas that are identified to be at high risk of presence of Great Crested Newt. Where they are in, so they're split into a red, an amber and a green zone in terms of risk. Where they're in a red risk zone, we do accept a statement, so the second part of the guidance in the final column. We would accept a statement from an ecologist to say, actually, in this circumstance, we don't require you don't require an assessment. It won't give you any information you require because there's a major road or a railway that bisects the site, and you're not going to get newts coming from the habitat into this area. So the red, the amber, the green zones aren't quite as detailed to be able to avoid to make the red spreading across those roads or railways.
Through you, Chair. That doesn't quite tackle my question. My question is about why this is applying to all applications, even change of use, which is not a development application.
Exactly.
Versus 17, which only applies to development, and so that wouldn't trigger anything for a simple change of use. I'm just wondering why 16 is applying to everything. Compare page 26 and page 28. I just wonder why it's so general that every application has to have a statement.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas in 17, we are rightly focusing just on development applications.
Okay. So I think it's a reasonable point that change of use for great crested newts isn't likely to result in any impact. So it's something that can be tweaked before this is up for adoption. The habitat regulations isn't triggered on certain development. Specifically because we know what the likely causes of the impact are. So again, for cannock chase sack, we know that the likely causes are additional or significant additional vehicle movements, so emissions from those, emissions from flues or from energy generation potentially, and then visitor pressure. So visitor pressure would come from new accommodation, new houses, new hotels, that kind of thing. So a householder application isn't going to trigger any significant vehicle movements to that level or emissions.
Councillor Reid, before you go, Councillor Reid, are we saying then that this will be tweaked prior to public consultation or during that process?
We can do that before, if that's
That's what committee meeting will get. Similar wording to 17 where it says for development, if that's appropriate for this.
Okay, so we'll come back to that then. And Councillor Reid again.
17, again, it's a consistency question. So now I'm comparing Habitat Regulation 17 with the Householder Quick Guide, which is on either page 56 or 66. And it's in fact bottom of page 67. For the householders, they have to include a report on bats. We actually call out bats specifically for householders, but we don't call out bats in our policies, in our reference 17. I mean, I know other districts do. South Staffordshire, I know for special reasons, they've got specific bat requirements in the main wording of their reference. I'm just wondering why, again, there's an inconsistency between householders are told to do a report on bats, but then it's not in our standard one.
It's the surveys on protected species would be under the preliminary ecological assessments rather than habitat regulations. Habitat regulations is to do with habitat sites, it's not about protected species habitats.
Okay, so that would be somewhere else. Do we call that out somewhere else? Because if so,
yeah, it would be under preliminary ecological appraisal assessments.
Right.
Where would we find that, please?
29 is, I don't know why there's two page numbers, it's either 39 or 49.
So 39
for fixed reference.
For members reference, it's 39 or 49, which has been discussed at the moment.
Preliminary ecological assessment.
So if you look in the left hand column, it's validation reference 29.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that does reference bats specifically?
That's specifically for protected species and assessments of protected species and surveys required. It refers to any species protected under the Wildlife and Countryside Act.
So, Chair, again, that doesn't quite hit my inconsistency point, which is that for households, bats are called out very specifically in the quick reference, but bats aren't called out specifically here. I'm wondering why there's an inconsistency. Because that confuses guidelines when people see a difference and they're like, why does that apply to me but not someone else?
Okay.
Is there something we can do there? Is there something that can be done?
Yeah, again, it can be tweaked to refer specifically to bats.
One way or the other. I don't know which is the right answer, but it should be consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else have any other points to highlight? Okay, so it looks like we will. Does anyone like to propose that we accept? Councillor Cross, thank you. And a seconder? Councillor Reid. But before we take the vote, we are also looking at rewording these two sections. Is that correct as part of this?
So I would suggest that we reword it before we go out to consultation. And then obviously the consultation's open for everybody, so if that's not quite up to members' wishes to comment, then we can.
Do we need to clarify what that rewording is now before we take the vote?
You could resolve to approve subject to clarification of the wording being agreed by yourself, Chair, in conjunction with Councillor Reid.
Okay. Councillor Reid, would you accept?
I'm happy on that, both counts, because also it's going to consultation, so if I've got anything, I can always write in.
Okay.
Are you content, because you made
I'm
the proposal?
I'm content with that, yes.
Yep. That's fine. Okay. Okay then, so we will take the vote to put this through to public consultation. All those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you. So we shall draw this committee meeting to a close.